Hello, it's me again. My dad was supposed to preach today, and he was just really wanting to go up to Ohio to see Courtney play in the national championships, and so in the Ultimate Frisbee Championships. And so he said, "I'll stay and preach." And I said, "No, Dad, you need to go." So he went, and I said I would come up with something. So, you know, I can remember very distinctly, I was in fifth grade, and I don't remember too much about my early years. It's just kind of moments, you know. Maybe you're that way too. But I can distinctly remember in fifth grade, and I was playing Little League ball, and I was, involved in a lot of other things. And one thing I noticed about something that was happening to me was I was losing my eyesight. Okay. How many of you, like in middle school, started losing your vision? Okay, not like going blind, but just losing. You couldn't see clearly. And I don't know what it was, but I didn't want to admit it. I don't know if it wasn't that, you know, back in those days they didn't have the slimline glasses. Everything was like this big, and I didn't want to be, you know, even more of a nerd than I already was. And I'm not sure what the resistance to it was, but I went that whole school year. And I couldn't see very well. Then my sixth grade year rolled around, and it was even worse. And it got to the point to where when I was sitting in my seat during class, I couldn't see the board. Teacher would write assignments on the board, I couldn't see what they were. And so I would go up to the pencil sharpener, which was right next to the board, about 17 times a day. And I would sharpen my pencil, and while I was there, I would look at the board. And I would break my pencil on purpose later so I could go back up to the board and I could look and see what the assignment was. Somehow, I survived. I even played Little League Baseball and made the All-Star team, and I couldn't see the ball when it was coming at me. I think it was just a good guesser because I hit it, and I don't know how I caught the ball in the outfield. I have no clue. Anyway, I struggled through. Well, they had back in the day, I don't know if they still do this, but they had these vision mobiles. In the big trucks, they would come to your school. Do they still do that? They're looking at me like I'm an idiot. Okay, I'm an idiot. We would go to these. They would bring this doctor that had this. It's kind of like a bookmobile, except it was a vision center. We were in a rural area, and maybe that was the reason. But they would come there, and you would go in, and you would get in a line just like you would in the dent, and you would. They would check your eyes to make sure that everybody, you know, could see. I always positioned myself, and I'd done this in the fifth grade as well, I always positioned myself toward the back of the line. And I would memorize the eye chart so that I wouldn't, so that she didn't get up there and she'd say, first line, CBRC, second line, XB, and I would just say them. You know, I just had them all memorized in my head, and I'd make it through again. Well, this time, my teacher had already had a clue that I couldn't see. And so she'd already told the doctor that I couldn't see. And when I got in there, they changed the eye chart. And I, top line, CRB2, you know, and I was like, you know, it's totally different than that. And I thought I'd made it through again. And then she said, "Son, you need glasses. You can't see." And so during my sixth grade year, I got glasses. And I remember the very first time that I could actually see. And then I wondered what in the world I had waited on. Why did I do that? Why did I go through life for those 2 years not being able to see a thing? I mean, I might have made the major leagues if I could actually see the ball when it was coming to me. Who knows what my life, how different my life would be? Probably not. I call that a PCE. Perspective changing experience. When I put those glasses on, life was totally different. I could see things that I had never seen before. It was a pleasure to actually stay in my seat during class and be able to see the board. Man, my teacher, she's old, you know? Wow, I'd never even seen her face before. This is amazing. She was kind of old. Have you ever had spiritually speaking, a PCE, perspective-changing experience. I was thinking about, and I was making a list somewhere here, of some of the people in the Bible who had one of these, and just I'm sure that all of them did, but these are some of the famous ones. How was Adam's perspective changed when he sinned and was kicked out of the garden? He had one of those perspective-changing, that's why I call it PCE, because perspective-changing experience is kind of a hard thing to say. He had one of those. I think about Samson. Think about David. As he committed the sin and Nathan comes to him and he finally realizes, it's you. It's you. I think about Peter. As he sits, well, really two occasions, steps out of the boat and then he realizes that he can't walk on water on his own. Or as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, or he's in the courtyard and he denies Jesus, and then Jesus looks at him. He had one of those experiences. To where in that moment he saw things totally differently. And in all of these cases, they became different people. By being able to take those experiences, they viewed life differently. They saw things in a different light. Chad read for us a story, a very famous story, which we've discussed many times, of the prodigal son. As he wanders away from his father, as his own selfishness causes him to leave his father's home, to take the money that he thinks is his money, and to go off and to live his own life, to do things in his own way. And he ends up in a pig pen. And I love the part of this where it says, he longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. And when he came to his senses, he had one of those experiences, one of those perspective-changing experiences. You know, for most of the people that we've talked about, it was the absolute low of the low. They had to reach a point in their life to where it was so low, they really couldn't go anywhere else. And then something clicked. Their perspective changed. And they were able to see things in a different light, in a different way. And in all of these cases, they became different. They changed. They became better. They realized the path that they should then take. But you know, there are sometimes that we have, or that biblical examples of people who've had those experiences and they didn't change. They did nothing. Peter stands before a group of people in Acts chapter 2 and he preaches the gospel and he says, you have crucified and killed the very one that God sent to save you from your sins. The one you've been waiting for thousands of years has come into the world and you killed him. And it says that day that 3,000 souls were baptized. They said, what should we do? But I wonder about all the people that didn't accept it. I wonder about all the people who listened and heard but didn't change. Maybe some of them changed along the way somewhere, but sometimes we have these perspective-changing experiences and they do nothing for us. They don't change me. They don't make me a different person. They don't change my course of walking. I'm going to ask you to do something, and I guess like last week, it could be a total bomb if you don't help, okay? We have a lot of people in this room who have varying ages, varying experiences. Is there anybody in here that would like to share with us one of your perspective-changing experiences? Anyone? All right, go. Excellent. Jimmy? Now I want you to do this. I want you to think about one of those experiences in your life. Maybe it's, for Jared, it was, you know, it was something spiritual, a spiritual awakening of sorts. For Jimmy, it caused him to do things that he may have never done or experienced. He became a youth leader, even more than he was before that. But I want you to think about that in your life and how you have responded to those moments, responded to those times when we have a chance to look at things in a different way. Because there can really be two responses. I can change for the good, or I can let it affect me for the bad. Well, three. I could do nothing, I guess. We know how this story ends. We see that this young man gets the courage up, which he probably would never have gotten up, to go back to his father and beg for forgiveness. But you see, in order to beg for forgiveness, he had to realize that he was wrong in the first place. And I think that was the key element in this whole story, is that he actually realized his mistake. Because before then, he's blaming everybody else. Before then, it wasn't his fault. It was everybody else's fault, you know. But that moment when he said, I'm wrong, and I need to change. And he got up the courage to go home. And he got up the courage to go to his father. And of course, we understand the father's response is more overwhelming than he could ever imagine. We live in a world where a lot of people, or most people, refuse to admit that they need to change. You deal with them every day. I deal with them every day. The community that we live in, overwhelmingly, that's the attitude. I'm fine the way I am. I don't need change. I don't need God and Jesus in my life. The moment that everyone needs to come to that'll change our perspective on everything, and all of us have reached this point to some extent, is I can't do it alone. I'm a sinner and I can't save myself from my own sin. This is a song that I really like, and I'm not going to lead it because it's a different version. I actually think we tried to sing this once and it was the wrong tune. But I love the words of this song. And the words are actually by a little known author, Charles Wesley. So, and actually the music is by Thomas Campbell, but I think Wesley was a better author than Campbell was a music writer. But anyway, okay. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain? For me who Him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? He left His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace. He emptied Himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. His mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, in dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Is it hard to fathom? Is it hard to understand? Is it hard to realize that the God of the universe sent His own Son to die for me? That's a PCE, perspective-changing experience. Knowing that the God of the universe loves me enough to send His own Son to die for my sin. And that's the message that we have got to accept. And that's the message that we've got to shout to the world around us to help them see what God has done for all of us. Did you pick a song? Okay. I want us to think about this as we stand and as we sing the song that's been chosen.